Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, let's talk to the Diddy. I mean, when we do our first show after a draft, it's always great to get Ray Dittinger's perspective. We'll also talk some Sixers hoop with Ray. He's seen a lot in Philly sports, but this is an all-timer. With how this team always, Ray, they always let us down. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe. How are you and John doing today?
You know, Ray, 1983 was a long time ago, man. I mean, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to make only one conference final in 41 years.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you look around the league and you look at the way the league is set up right now. Yeah, that's hard to do.
I mean, especially when you had in that time, you had Allen Iverson, you had Charles Barkley, and you had Joel Embiid. You know, just, I mean, you had the tail end of Doc and the tail end of Moses. But, I mean, for the bulk of those years, of course, you had your years where, like, Dana Bowers is your best player. But, like, you had Barkley, Iverson, and Embiid, and you've gotten in the conference finals once. Anyway, all right, Ray, let's start Sixers. We'll go Eagles. What is your assessment with what we're seeing with the 76ers and what it means?
They're just not a well constructed team. They've got one truly great player and another really emerging star in Maxey, and then beyond that, nothing much. You know, and that's what's really hurt them. I mean, going into the series, you know, my view of it was, you know, Embiid's going to kind of do what he does, and Maxey is going to do what he does. But the Sixers are not going to win a 7-game series against a really good, deep, solid, tough defensive playing Knicks team with just two players. You know, they had to find a third real scoring option. That when teams start collapsing on Embiid or doubling down on him, and he goes to kick the ball out to somebody else, that somebody else can do something with it. And they haven't found that yet. You know, and then yesterday it was just pretty obvious that with Embiid playing the entire second half, he was just totally out of gas in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Ray,
and
have
and
you ever seen a player like this, like to this degree, a player who gets in and out of shape with this level of it's so pronounced. Like, I've been around a lot of athletes in my life, but none of them were 7'2". Why is it that it just seems so much more pronounced with Joel? Like, the fall out of shape is so much farther.
Yeah, well, it's just, I think it's sort of, it's across the NBA. The way, you know, the way the regular season that they play in the NBA or the way they approach it is you can actually get out of shape during the season with the way they handle players, with the way they practice and the way they take games off, and nobody plays back-to-back anymore. And, you know, the old days of guys, you know, playing every game and playing 40 minutes pretty routinely and not thinking anything of it, that's long since passed. And, you know, now it's really true. I mean, you watch an NBA team now over the course of a season, it seems antithetical to say this, that, you know, guys could actually get out of shape during an NBA regular season, but the way they approach the regular season, I think they can.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden now you get to the playoffs, and now you ratchet it up and you're asking them to play more minutes, and guys are playing harder at both ends of the court, and it's, you know, it's a physical game. It's not just the up and down, you know, funsies game that they play during the regular season. Now
That's right. Out
playing for real.
They are.
And they aren't prepared to do it.
Ray, we're going to go deep dive with you on the Eagles in just a moment, but I want to ask you first today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Let Armin Chevy be your electric vehicle dealer. Arriving shortly, the all-new Ultium-powered Chevrolet Blazer EV. Together, let's drive. ArmandChevy.com. Ray, the poll question. Fascinated to know your answer. Who's more to blame for so many Knicks fans being at games 3 and 4 in Philadelphia? Sixers fans or the Sixers organization? Now, before you answer that, let's listen to Joel, very frustrated after the game about all the Knicks fans that were there.
You guys have always had such great home court advantage here. How strange was it for you the past two games with the significant amount of Knicks fans in the house?
Disappointing. You know, I love our fans. Think he's unfortunate, and I'm not calling him out, but it is disappointing. You know, obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Yeah, you know, kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
All right, Ray, he's obviously really irritated. Who do you blame more, the Sixers organization or the people of the Delaware Valley?
It sounds harsh, but I would probably blame the organization. I just think that their whole approach to things and the way they do business, I think it's very off-putting.
I totally agree. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the people can't relate to the ownership. The ownership doesn't seem to want to care to relate to them. The fans have been, and you just, well, we began the segment with you pointing out how long it's been since this team made a run to the finals. The people don't have any, the fans here don't have any real reason to believe in the team. The ownership hasn't given them any real reason to love the team. And you get a series like this where you got people that have got their tickets, but, you know, there's people in New York that are willing to pay them a lot of money to come down here and come to the game. And the fans are looking at it and saying, this team isn't going anywhere. So what the heck? You know, I'll spend a nice Sunday with my wife and we'll sell the tickets and make some money on it. I just think there's a distance between this organization and the fan base here that is greater than we see with any of the other teams. And I think it was reflected in what you saw and heard yesterday.
I totally agree. All right, Ray, let's go Eagles. Obviously, they have a close association with the fan base. Disappointing end of the season, but some revitalization with the draft, at least the way a lot of people perceive it. How do you perceive it? Just the big picture, Ray Dittinger, draft sense of what Howie did. What'd you think?
Really good. Really, really good. I give him very high marks. I mean, to come away from this with, you know, not one, but two, I'll tell you straight up. The two cornerbacks he got were my two top cornerbacks.
Wow!
Wow!
I like Mitch. I liked on my board. I had Mitchell and DeGene over both of the Alabama kids.
Wow. That's,
I mean, they were cornerbacks one and two, and to come away from the draft with both of them, I thought was masterful. I really did. I mean, I would have been. My original thought going into it, and this was particularly true after Indianapolis, after the combine. When Mitchell went out there and just blew the doors off. He was a superstar. He was really good. He was really good at Mobile at the Senior
yeah.
Bowl. That was where people really started to believe in him when they saw him playing and practicing against the other elite receivers. They had seen him play. They had seen him on tape in Toledo playing MAC receivers. But everybody was waiting to see what he would do when he went to the Senior Bowl and had to play against the best receivers. And turned out that this guy's for real. I mean, he's like for real, real.
Yeah.
And then it was, okay, let's see how he goes. Let's see how he does when he goes to Indy and tests there. And he goes to Indy and runs 4.33. So after all of that, I mean, I had him penciled in to be somewhere between a 10 and a 14 pick. I mean, I thought he was going to go there. So to me, he was the guy he would have been my target if I were the Eagles. I'd say he's the best of the bunch. That's my greatest need. That's the guy I want. The problem is, no way in hell I'm going to get him at 22. You know, I'm going to have to trade up. But, okay, we got an extra second-round pick. Maybe we can pull that off. That's what I thought. And so, so to get him at 22 and then be able to maneuver around and get DeGene in the second round, I would have taken DeGene at 22. If Mitchell was off the board, I mean, DeGene to me is a good enough prospect. I would have taken him at 22 and been happy with that. But to walk away from this with both of those guys, I mean, was a major coup for Howie.
And then Jalix Hunt, how far does he have to go improvement-wise to be a viable pass rusher, Ray? And I'm fascinated by the fact that this is a guy who played safety, and I'm wondering if when you watch him play, if
right.
you can see unique safety remnant traits that others might not be able to pick up on as this guy's crashing the edge.
And, Ray, let me add a follow-up question before you even answer that. Is it
right.
too early in the draft, in the third round, for a developmental player? Is that too early for this guy?
That's my feeling on it. That's my feeling on it. I mean, if I had – and it's – you know, I certainly don't want to be critical of Howie because I thought he did a tremendous job this weekend overall. I mean, to get those two guys to the top of the draft, then to do all the maneuvering around that he did, and come out of it with three extra picks for next year. It was really something. I mean, he really put on a show. But if you were to say to me, okay, what's the one thing that you might criticize the one thing that you might have looked at and said, I don't know about that, it would be Hunt. And not because I don't think he has the prospect of being a good developmental player and being a guy who could help you down the road. I just thought he was a reach where you got him. You know, at third round, I just thought, you know, those kind of guys, those developmental kind of guys, which is really what he is, and even how he used that term, he's a developmental guy. You know, I'm going for those guys on day three. I thought that he represented a reach. But okay, what he really is, he's a very impressive quote unquote athlete. I mean, he's got really good size. He tested really well. You know, he runs a legit 4.6. But he right now, I mean, you look at his college background, he played mostly at Cornell, and he finished up at this tiny little school, Houston Christian, who plays basically nobody. And, you know, again, he went to the Senior Bowl and played pretty good. I think what helped him there was when he was playing in college, he played in a stand-up stance mm-hmm. in a wide nine defense. And it was a pretty unstructured thing where they just kind of let him play. And he was just so much better than everybody else on the field that he could kind of do what he wanted to do and get past and get on the quarterback anytime he wanted to because there was nobody there to block him. But I wasn't sure if that was going to translate to the NFL. But when he went to the Senior Bowl, they actually put him in a two-point stance and played him like a situational pass rusher, a guy who wouldn't be an every-down player, but a guy who would be a sub-package mm-hmm. player. That would come in passing situations and be that one of those designated edge guys. And he looked pretty comfortable doing that, to be honest. And so I think the Eagles are looking at that and seeing him, okay, you can talk about him as a developmental player, but, you know, we think in certain packages we can put him on the field, you know, maybe a dozen snaps a game, and with his just sheer athletic ability, he can get some pressure. Okay, if he can do that, then maybe he warrants, a third-round pick. But I just thought, if you really are looking at him as a down-the-road kind of guy who you could develop into a guy who could be a major factor in your defense, unless you really feel he can step in and play right now, I thought they went a little high for him. But other than that, I just thought it was a really good draft. And the two kids they got at the top are yeah. very good players. I mean, I have no doubt that Mitchell will be one of your starting cornerbacks week one.
Yeah.
And DeGene will be on the field somewhere.
And what's the best way to use him?
I heard John talking about, you know, where are they going to use him? Well, Iowa used him everywhere. That's true. I mean, they used him in every possible way you can use a defensive back. And so the Eagles will use him that way too. But they'll both be on the field week one.
Okay, so Cooper, DeGene. Man, a lot of these new draftees, it feels like they're candidates for the new kickoff return schemes. How many of these guys do you think they factored that in? Is this a new part that we are sort of at the front end of? How are we thinking ahead of the rest of the NFL? Just like he got ahead of the wave on cornerbacks, he's getting ahead of the wave on versatile returner-type guys, too. Is there anything to that, Ray?
Oh, sure. I mean, DeGene and Shipley both fit that description. And I would expect them to be in the mix for having that kind of thing. And I definitely think the new kickoff rules, which are going to make returns, well, I think in theory at least, will bring returns back to the game, have people reassessing the special teams play. And it will be more important now, not only looking for guys who can return kicks, but guys who can cover kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, the last couple of years, you know, your bomb squad cover guys, I mean, have been irrelevant. You know, the kicker kicks it out of the end zone. Those guys, all they're doing is they're basically doing a 40-yard dash and then turning around and going to the bench.
Yep.
Well, now you're going to have to ask those guys to go down and make a play.
Yeah, to be able to actually get guys to the ground.
Ray, let's get to the Clemson running back and the two wide receivers. Go ahead. Yeah.
I have a real
– Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Issue with the Clemson running back.
Well, you go first, John. What did you think?
I don't think he looks like, okay, he didn't run the 40 at the combine. That matters to me. That's the electronic, that's the official 40. And we all know that that's slower. When you go electronic, it's slower. Now, he ran it at his pro day. He got a 4.39 at his pro day.
Well, that's really fast.
It is really fast, but that's handheld. And it doesn't look like, when I look at the tape, that this guy runs, like, he's not playing at 4.39 speed. That's my impression. But, mm-hmm. Ray, do you feel, am I too harsh in judging? And are you more excited about Shipley than I am?
When I saw the 4.39 thing, I sort of shook my head and said, I'm not buying that.
I can't believe that.
No,
doesn't,
I mean,
he looks like 4.39.
No, he looks like a 4. He looks in plays. If you look at the tape, I mean, if you were to guess, you'd say 4.5.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems about right.
Yeah.
Which is not a disqualifier. I mean, there are a lot of guys in the league that are playing at 4.5 and playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things about him that I like. He's a tough guy. He's versatile. He certainly played a lot of different roles at Clemson. But his hands for a guy. I think you're bringing him in as a guy who's going to be, you know, like a third down kind of receiver out of the backfield.
Sketchy hands. A third down receiver out of the backfield who doesn't have the. I mean, it's not that he drops balls like severely, but it's not plucking the ball. It's not effortless the way that he catches it, the way I want to see from my back.
To be fair, John, it is a fifth-round pick. I mean, he's not supposed to be as good as the guys
the
first four
I think he should
rounds.
Still be able to catch the ball.
Well, I don't disagree. I'm just saying diminishing returns and deeper.
He might have been a fourth-round, Shipley, wasn't
he? I thought he was five. Was he four?
He was four. I think he was a fourth-rounder.
My fault. So, all right, Ray, the wide receivers, what'd you make of them? I mean, what do you know about them, and how do you project them with the Eagles?
Smith has injury issues, had a number of injuries that really sort of short-circuited his career at Texas A&M. He would just start to get things going, and then he would get an injury, and then he'd be out. His college career is really hard to track because of the interruptions and the time that he was missing. He fits the kind of the mold of what a lot of teams want their slot receiver to be, which is they like their slot receiver to be a guy who not just runs slot routes, but he can do things with the screen pass, can run jet sweeps, can line up in the slot but do multiple things from the slot. That's kind of what the Eagles were hoping that Rager would be, and obviously that didn't work out. That's kind of what they're hoping for with Smith. I thought the slot receiver was an absolute need for this team. I mean, they needed that guy. I mean, they don't have that guy right now. And I was really hoping that they would get Malik Washington, the kid from Virginia, who to me is a perfect slot receiver. I mean, he's 5'8", which doesn't help you in the NFL, but I don't think it matters as much if you're as quick and you get the kind of separation he does and you have the hands that he does. I thought Washington, to me, if you're looking for a slot receiver, he would have been my guy, and he was there for a good long time. And the Eagles drafted Smith ahead of him. Given the choice, I would have taken Washington.
Wow!
But there's potential there with Smith. I mean, he's got 4.4, and when he was healthy and he was on the field, he made some big plays. Averaged 15 yards a catch. There is some positive stuff there. But the injury thing concerns me, and his hands to me are a little unreliable, and he had some fumble issues. So I have some questions about him. And then
the other wide receiver, Johnny Wilson, do you think he'll stay a wide receiver? And how does he compare to Harold Carmichael when he was coming out?
Well, I would view him as sort of a hybrid, a guy who right now is sort of somewhere between wide receiver and tight end. I mean, with his body type, I just don't know if he can play wide receiver in the NFL. I just don't know if he's going to be able to get the separation. I could see him being a guy who becomes another tight end option for you because he has that kind of size, and he certainly has good athletic ability. But Harold was a whole different case. I mean, he was 6'8" and skinny as a rail when he came out, and had no real conception of how to run pass routes. I mean, at Southern they just let him run downfield, and they threw the ball up in the air.
Yeah.
So he had so much to learn. I mean, he was completely unpolished. But they were patient with him, and when he got together with, I'm sad to say, the late Roman Gabriel now.
Yeah.
He really emerged as a great receiver, and now he's a Hall of Fame receiver. Johnny Wilson to me is a real back of the draft. Let's take a shot with this guy because he's had his moments. I mean, he went to Arizona State and sort of flopped there. And then he went to Florida State and kind of blossomed. He's an intriguing physical package. But right now, if you were to ask me, I don't see him being an impact guy at wide receiver. If he's going to make an impact now, it would be kind of as a flex tight end.
Hey, Ray, couple final things here. Let's go back to where we started with the Eagles on the defensive backs. I'm going to give you three names. Tell me which Eagles player you think his job as a starter is most in jeopardy. James Bradbury, Avonte Maddox, Reed Blankenship. Who is most likely to not be a starter, perhaps not even on the team?
Well, I mean, you've got it's not just a matter of the playing part of it. The financial considerations are part of it, too.
Yes, they are.
You can look at the tape on Bradbury and Blankenship and try and evaluate them just as players, but then you got to go to then you have to go to the actuarial sheets, and then you got to figure out what you're paying the one guy versus what you're paying the other guy and how much you owe him. I can't imagine if it isn't financial considerations, I can't imagine that Bradbury has a spot on the roster this year. I just don't know where you put him. I don't think he can play corner anymore. And I don't think, you know, at this point in his life, I don't think you're going to convert him to safety. Because among the other guys we're talking about here with the upgrades in the secondary, which are very real with these two kids coming in now, remember we have Sidney Brown coming back from an injury. And I thought Sidney
and Isaiah Rogers.
Yeah. Well, Sidney Brown was a guy I really liked in last year's draft. And I thought when he finally got a chance to play last year, he played really well. So I think he's going to be a future starter here at some point. I think when he's healthy and he's ready to play, I think he's going to be one of your safeties. And I think DeGene will be the other one. But as far as who's the most threatened, I would say probably, again, the money is hard for me to factor in,
sure.
But I would say probably Bradbury, just based on A, last year's performance, and the fact that B, you look at Blankenship, and if nothing else, even if he's out of the starting lineup, he's a guy that's going to contribute on special teams, and you're not going to get that from Bradbury.
Ray with us here, and Ray brought to us today by Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. All right, Ray, couple final things. I know you've got a big event coming up, you and Glenn. Tell us about that and how people listening can get involved.
Yes, Glenn Macnow and I are doing another one of our sports movies nights, which have been very successful, and people have really enjoyed them. And we did a couple Bryn Mawr Film Institute. We did one at the Swarthmore Players Club of Swarthmore, sold the place out, and it went so well that we're going to do another one, and we're going to do it at the Uptown Performing Arts Center in Westchester. And what sports movie night is basically what it sounds like. It's, Glenn and I come and we play, we show film clips from some of the great sports movies of all time. And we talk about the making of the movie and the casting of the movie and some of the what happened behind the scenes of the movie and what you don't know about the movie. And then we have open discussion about the, pros and cons and what you want to know. And it's a great evening. It's you get to see Rocky again. You get to see Hoosiers again. You get to see
awesome.
Field of Dreams again. It's, for a sports fan and a movie fan, either if you're both, great. If you're one or the other, great. You can come out and have a really fine time. So it's going to be – so Glenn and I will be doing it yet again at the Uptown Theater on High Street in Westchester on June the 5th. And you can go to the Uptown website and order your tickets and hope you come out. I guarantee you, you will have a fun evening.
Love it. All right, Ray, final thing, because we can't go more than 10 or 15 minutes without mentioning the Sixers because it's such a hot topic and people are so frustrated. But give me three words, last thing here, three words – to describe the Philadelphia 76ers. And it doesn't have to be a phrase. It can be three separate individual words that are each descriptive. I got maddening, but it sounds like you're struggling to come up with one. But you're
digging in,
Ray. I appreciate it. All right. Floor's yours. Floor's still yours. What do you got?
No. Disappointing, frustrating, and I'll go maddening with you too.
You got it, Ray.
I wish I could come up with something that would be quasi positive, but after watching what happened in that fourth quarter yesterday, it's
inconsistent is quasi positive because it implies that sometimes it's good, just not when we need it.
Yeah. There's also these three words, and this would be a phrase, not good enough.
How about this? We almost don't have to watch him anymore. Is that positive?
All right, Ray, we will we'll get you in studio here soon for a deeper dive on all this, and so totally appreciate you carving out some time for us today. Thanks, Ray.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you guys.
All right, there he is, the Hall of Famer, Ray Dittinger. All right, up ahead here, Jeremiah Trotter Sr. and Jeremiah Trotter Jr., what they said upon Junior being drafted, the younger Axeman. We'll get to that audio, plus, a ton. The Phillies kicking butt, and a tweet I saw over the weekend. While it stinks to see it, it's accurate, and I got to read it to you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.